Good morning.
Good morning.
Now the reading of the Litany of Thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Gracious God, we give thanks for your countless gifts, for the earth and a bounty of creation, for life and health, for home and harvest, for work and rest. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. We give you thanks for family and friends, for teachers and mentors, for children and parents, for those who enrich our lives with their presence, and for those whose needs call us to service. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. We give you thanks for this church, for its leaders and teachers, for all who are part of this community of believers, for fellowship, friendship, and faith, for the sacred and the simple, silence and song. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. May we live as thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen.
President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of God Almighty, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these United States to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, with a signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he hath been blessed but pleased to confer upon us. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good and virtue and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington.
Thank you. Happy blessed Thanksgiving. I'm Deacon Ray Brown, and I'll be reading for Deacon Ray Chattery. Psalm 107, 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
Because God is good. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Shallow men believe in luck." And I would agree. For me, it is a trivial attribution, an insubstantial association, an empty attribute. For what meaning does luck bring to our lives? What depth of knowledge of worth and purpose in the earth can we garner? An unstable foundation, what can we build upon luck? Unpredictable, what of our lives can really depend upon luck? Surely if luck has arms, they are too short to save us. And what connections can be made through luck? What can it be dependent on for? What can we expect of luck? What civilizations has it created? What discoveries has it made? What change has it brought about? How has believing in luck made our lives better? And what are we really delegating to luck? All of God's good work, hard work, patient work, holy work, stolen, plagiarized, and passed off as the property of luck. Luck written over God's name. All of our sacrifices, trials and errors, long hours and weekends, reduced to the luck of the draw. But who is holding the cards? Good or bad luck, it costs us nothing to give credit to chance. We do not lose or gain in its expression. It does not empower or embolden us to do anything specific or to become anyone in particular. It puts no demand on our lives to believe in luck. We don't need faith to speak of life as a 50-50 chance. If we are honest, it is easier to say. Our mention of luck is proof of the personal rebellion against God's goodness that we must fight against, because this kind of reduction leaves out God's power and plan for us. And what are we to do with the record of the prophet Jeremiah, who records the voice of the Lord? "For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." What are we to do with the words of the apostle Peter, who writes, "His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness"? What are we to do with the promises of God and all of the good gifts that come from God? James, the brother of Jesus, says, "Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is coming from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Everything good that we have received from God. On the other hand, the Gospel of Luck says that success or failure is apparently brought on by chance rather than one's own actions. Consequently, we can do nothing to influence luck, to predict its will for us. We cannot act our way into its good graces or talk ourselves out from under its dark cloud. When it rains, it pours. So what are we to do about the God who separated the light from the darkness, who was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? The psalmist says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering around him, his canopy thick clouds of darkness with water. Yeah, I'd rather call on this God than wait around for luck to show up. Good luck with that. The psalmist says that we are not bound to our circumstances, that the earth cannot sit still when we cry out to God, that it is impacted by God's response to us, and that darkness is subjected to God. So, yes, the sun will come out tomorrow. Still, it is much easier to see life as a series of hits and misses. It causes us no discomfort to say that it was a fluke, a stroke of luck, an accident, a twist of fate or good fortune. There is no investment, nothing lost or gained in the exchange of these expressions. We give credit to nothing. Though called on in cities like Las Vegas, who has actually met Lady Luck? Don't raise your hand. This phantom God only appears on our lips as we toss glory to the wind. This is why we need to be reminded, as Jesus did a student, that the only goodness that exists in the world is from God and therefore because of God. Correcting the rich man who called him good teacher, Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Now, if Jesus says that he is not a good person, as the second person in the Trinity who came to die for the sins of the world, then how are we to call ourselves good people? The Son of God, divinity wrapped in humanity, Jesus says that only God is good. And the psalmist sings this praise, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." So what are we to make of a faith that believes that this good God does bad things? That God is guilty by associating with humans? I find it interesting that when we do something wrong, we blame our circumstances, our condition, our family, or the devil made me do it. But when we do something good, how often have we said, "God made me do it"? We credit the devil with evil, but we do not associate our goodness or our good deeds with God. A.W. Tozer said, "If I could find out what you really perceive God to be like, I could prophesy your future without much trouble, for you are always going to move in the direction of your perception of God." He concluded, "The most important thing for us to do is to constantly work on our perception of God." Unlike luck, God is not 50-50. Tozer says it is impossible for God to be indifferent. Either God loves with a boundless, unremitting energy, or God hates with a consuming fire. God cannot be halfway on a question. So it makes sense that God does not want a lukewarm people, but asks that we be hot or cold. Archibald MacLeish said, "God is God, or we are nothing. All that is right with the world is because God is good. It is God's goodness that orders and maintains the earth and its inhabitants. Thus, all credit, all the glory and praise should be attributed to God." Paul tells the Romans that we are all under the power of sin and reminds us today there is no one who is righteous, not even one. It is God that makes us good and can call us good. If not for God's goodness around us, the darkness would overwhelm us. If not for the light of God's goodness in Christ, we would all be grasping for hope from the shadows. Because if we are so good, then why did Christ come to serve, to suffer, and to die? If we are good people apart from his blood, then the gospel is in vain. Who did he come to redeem from trouble, if not us? Paul wrote to Timothy, "The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. We don't hear this kind of confession anymore. Though the disciples who walked with Jesus were far from perfect, today's disciples try to pass themselves off as such, never betraying or denying or doubting or abandoning Christ. But it is a strange testimony of the church when we call ourselves good people while having no problem thinking of God as at least partially bad or not good enough. This is why we need the Bible, which reminds us that once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Therefore, we cannot put our goodness before God's own. The chicken or the egg, God's goodness came first. In a similar vein, Emil Brunner said, there are Christians because of the Bible. The Bible is the soil from which all Christian faith grows. Once called the good book, its goodness is questioned. But there is nothing else by which we can live, as one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here is our record, an account of God's goodness in spite of all that has gone wrong in the world, because it is so easy to attribute it to luck, to forget how good God has been. Too tempting to believe that this goodness is of us and not God. So the psalmist declares across the millennia and down through the years, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Yes. If we ever forget where our gratitude belongs, if we are tempted to open our hands to receive it or to pat ourselves on the back, this worship leader provides an arrow, a neon sign, a billboard that points us right back to God. The giving of thanks belongs to God, not because we are good or life is good, but because God is good. Amen.